Mary Kiffmeyer served as Minnesota Secretary of State from 1999 to 2007. She was elected to the Minnesota House of Representatives in 2008 and currently represents District 16B. She's the author of the Voter ID Constitutional Amendment Bill that's on the November ballot. Mary Kiffmeyer, welcome to Daybreak.
Glad to be with you, Jay.
Well, last week, I spoke on Friday with Senator Tom Bach, who has some concerns about the voter ID bill, as you might know. So I thought it'd be good to talk to you about those and some other concerns. In the last election, Cook County precinct were among the over 500 in the state using mail-in ballots. Now, the amendment language calls for identity substantially equivalent to a photo ID in order to vote. What would that be for mail ballots? What would be substantially equivalent?
Well, our current mail balloting process already brings us very, very close, and the same way with absentee voting. The checkbox that says no ID would go away, because substantially equivalent means that everybody in the state of Minnesota in the voting process would need to have some form of government-issued ID. So you place that number on your processing part of the absentee ballot, not actually on the ballot, but on that processing envelope, and you have a witness signature, which would be very substantially equivalent to the polling place where you have an election judge, and you're good to go. Those are the two things that are that would make it substantially equivalent to the polling place. So I think that your voters up there in Cook County are well able, as are many folks. So the large, large majority, 98%, already have an ID. So we'll be able to, I think, accommodate voting by mail very nicely for Cook County.
Now, I got a little blue postcard in the mail about a couple of months ago from our county auditor treasurer that says I'm a registered voter. That would not do, right?
No, you would need to have an ID with that, an ID number, when you are in the process of casting your ballot. So the purpose of that being a registered voter means that you are registered. But just as any other voter in the state of Minnesota, when they come into the polling place to vote, they would need to be able to show their ID. And so when you vote by mail, you would also have to have that ID number on your processing part of your envelope. Mm-hmm. You have to remember that 2.3 million people are pre-registered and come into the polling place and vote on election day. But the question is, when you have a stranger standing in front of you as an election judge working in the polling place, how you know they are who they say they are without showing an ID? You could have fictitious, you could have an impersonator in front of you, but you have no ID requirement. You just plain don't know. Now, the substantial equivalent part of that in voting by mail is requiring you to put down that ID number that would match the same name that you're registered under. That is what people do. That is what they have. They have their ID number. They have the ID in hand. And that really is what makes the substantial difference.
So if I'm not mistaken, currently, if they don't know me at the polling place, somebody at the polling place could vouch for me saying, yeah, I know who this guy is and that's where he lives. That won't do either, right?
That will not do. No, absolutely not. And by the way, an interesting fact is that from the last presidential election in 2008, there are about 500,000 people who registered to vote on election day. After their ballot was cast and counted, a postal verification card was sent out to those about 500,000 people. 23,000 of those postcards came back as undeliverable. No such person or no such address. The local units of government went through everything they could to find those people, to see did we make a typo error when we entered the data. They did all of that, and to this day, 4 years later, there are still over 6,200 voters. We have no idea who they are, if they really exist, or what they are. And how can you prosecute over 6,200 people when you can't find them? So that is the reality of an election day situation. And with vouching, that can contribute to those 6,200 possibly fraudulent ballots. And by the way, the difference in that statewide election was 312.
Now, Senator Bach said that the passage of the amendment would likely end same-day registration. Is that true?
Absolutely not.
Okay, how does
that
work?
Absolutely not. That's just ridiculous. Registering on election day and you have what's needed, just as any other voter would need to have what is needed when they pre-register. So you do that on election day. You have the documents with you that you need, just as if you would if you were pre-registering. So it just means that we have equal treatment of all voters, that those on election day don't get to jump the line. They don't get to have superpowers where they can have rules that anybody else who pre-registered does not have. So I think it just makes sure that we treat all voters equally. But registering to vote on election day, and you have what is needed to prove who you are, where you live, you are able to go right ahead and vote.
Now, if you don't have that information, or if you don't have your voter ID, you can fill out a provisional ballot. That's an option. Now, is that going to slow down the election returns? Because there are several days in there to validate that. You got to come back with the ID. So is that going to make, you know, in a close race, difficult to call?
Well, there are 44 other states who currently use provisional ballots. That is not the case in any of those states. So I think, first of all, we have a history with that in 44 other states. And in states the size of ours, the average number of provisional ballots per precinct is about 1.5. I don't think this is going to be a big issue, and certainly not for Cook County with your vote by mail. I mean, there you have a lot more time to begin with in the whole processing part of that. But even on election day, with that few provisional ballots on average per precinct, by the way, when we did a statutory bill, we had provisional ballots, that whole process of taking care of everything that's needed being done within a week. And right now, the counties have a week to certify the election results. As we all know, on election night, there's a big line that says at the top of the election results, as they come in, they're unofficial. And those numbers change between election day and when you actually have the certifying of the election results. And that's just because it allows for some administrative things. Again, some of those typos, reversing number, they're just things that go on. It's administrative. We try and get out the system tries to get out the early results to you, but they're unofficial until then. Well, the same thing with the provisional ballots. Being part of that, they're in that window of administrative unofficial results. But I don't think that the quantities that we're talking about here are going to be overwhelming to the local units of government. You'll use your regular business hours for the voters to come in, and that could be in a city, it could be in a township, could be in a county office, whichever is closer to you, that if you do forget your wallet. And by the way, right now, today, if you come into the polling place on election day and you don't have what's required and you don't have a voucher, those people walk out without voting. With a new system that would be done by the Constitutional Photo ID Amendment, they would have a chance to cast their ballot and have another week to come back and take care of what's needed. So I think we've actually expanded the ability to cast a ballot with a provisional voting system. But the most important thing is to add that integrity, that confidence that whoever registered has the ID that goes with it. We know that that is an honestly cast real person, because you can register to vote by mail, but how do we know that's a real person, or how do we know some of the background there, or that that is the person who's coming in to actually vote or filling out the ballot? And possession of the ID is a big part of confirming that.
Senator Bach said the cost to counties if the amendment passes would be, in his words, horrendous. Now, our own county auditor has said in interviews I did earlier that the cost of federal ADA mandated equipment and the cost of upgrades to polling places that have not been used in about 10 years, that's how long we've had a mail ballot, those costs would be considerable. And he's wondering where the money's going to come from. Are there provisions in the legislation to cover those costs?
Well, first of all, as I said, you'll still be able to vote by mail. So I don't know what all this cost and ADA and all that stuff in your... It sounds like they're thinking they're going to have to create new polling places and all kinds of things like that. I don't see that happening. There is nothing in this constitutional amendment that does away with vote by mail. And so, first of all, you're going to continue to vote by mail. Currently, right now, when you vote by mail, you already have a processing envelope, and the county already prints those. So there's no cost above the usual for that. And in the printing of those envelopes, they'll need to make sure to remove the checkbox for no ID, because everybody will be required to have that ID and to put that number there. So you take away that checkbox. Well, they're reprinting these on a regular basis. And so I believe that, you know, vote by mail is going to continue. They're still going to have those processing envelopes. And I think those costs just are not based upon the reality. And if you have continued vote by mail, so I don't see where they're getting that. I think that is a, when people are opposed to something, as my mother used to say, consider the source. And these are people who are against increasing the integrity of elections by having a voter ID requirement.
Well,
now we have people that are voting who are not U.S. citizens, who are maybe not even real people. So we just want to be sure we have eligible voters and folks that are entitled to a ballot actually casting a ballot. Vote by mail will continue, so those costs are not there. Anything above, like the state ID, anybody who needs one of those would be paid for by the state, not by local government.
I think you may have a point there with Senator Bach. Obviously, he's on the other side of the aisle. I don't know about our own county auditor. I think his concern, and again, it is assuming that the mail ballot would not happen, but I think that in the case of our county auditor, he's concerned in reading the legislation, and as I've done and a number of people have, there doesn't seem to be a lot of specifics as to, I mean, some of the things that you've talked about are very reassuring, but they don't actually appear in the bill as it stands. Do you intend to offer to the upcoming legislature, because it's the 2013 legislators that are going to have to implement the bill. It sounds to me like you got a bunch of guidelines for these people, and they may need them, because we don't know who the 2013 legislature is going to be, right?
Well, but the same people that get elected and are that legislature are the same people that will be voting on the constitutional amendment. So I think it's going to be a very strong message to them. We want to have that increase of integrity in our elections. And as 30 other states already have an ID requirement more all the time, and the courts continuing to uphold ID requirements. The courts have said without a system in place such as an ID requirement that would deter fraud, how can the public have confidence and thereby come out to vote? In other states where they have this, not one case of voter disenfranchisement, and voter turnout stays the same or increases amongst Democrats more than Republicans even. So I think when we look at some of these kinds of facts, it's very important. But let me also mention that in Minnesota history, never has a constitutional amendment had all the details and all of that in the Constitution. The Constitution is there to set a policy and to set permissions for the legislature and for the people to say, this is our policy. Everybody, prove who you are. And the second thing is the substantially equivalent means as long as you have something substantially equivalent to the polling place where you're in person voting with an election judge, what is substantially equivalent? Having an ID, having a witness signature are the two components that match up with that. But in constitutional amendments, if you had in our current state constitution, I think we have 12 chapters of election law, and we have a page and a half in the Minnesota Constitution in Article 7, which is about elections. You don't put all those 12 chapters into the Constitution. You establish the policy, and you establish enough specifics so that the legislature has and the people have an understanding of what you are doing. So the essence of this is the photo ID requirement and then vote by mail. And so I don't see everything in this, when we worked on the language of this, was to be sure that this constitutional amendment language made sure of the permissive nature through having a vote by mail continuing. And I'm absolutely confident of that. There is nothing in this amendment that would prohibit any method of voting, whether it's by mail, absentee voting, coming to the county and voting an absentee ballot in person, our military voters. There is nothing in this constitutional amendment that prohibits any method of voting.
Now, we've just got less than a minute left here before I have to leave, but critics of the amendment saying that this is that there doesn't seem to be that much voter fraud that's been documented in Minnesota, let alone nationwide. And I guess they ask the question, is this a solution looking for a problem? And how do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, the courts have recognized that catching fraud is a very expensive and a very time-consuming labor, especially when it's done after the fact and the voter is gone from the polling place or anything else. So I think the courts have said that it is correct to take an approach of deterring and detecting fraud and keeping it out of the ballot box. Like I mentioned, from the 2008 election alone, and that is just the about 500,000 who registered to vote on Election Day, we still have over 6,200 voters unidentified, cannot find them, and yet at the same time, their ballots are cast and counted. What Minnesota has right now is a catch and prosecute, if you can.
Well,
okay? And so it's a very after-the-fact thing. I believe, I'm a registered nurse, I think we moved to a society where we want to do prevention, not prosecution. So those 6,200 people are one thing. We also did not keep out nearly 1,100 felons that should not have voted and did cast a ballot. And we have over 200 people convicted from the past few years alone of voting fraud. So I think we do have enough there. Plus, there's a 2.3 million people who are pre-registered who have no ID requirement right now. So how do you know? How do you detect something without a photo ID requirement?
Well, we're going to have to leave it at that, and with voters will have a chance to weigh in on this in just a little over a month. And we've been speaking with Representative Mary Kiffmeyer. She's the author of the Voter ID Constitutional Amendment. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us this morning, and hope to talk to you soon, maybe after the election.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jay.
Okay.
Happy voting.